What's it take to become a world-class spy? The answers and the job description may just surprise you. Today, we visit with a man who held that job, a gentleman who today helps oversee one of the best places to learn about working undercover. It's today's edition of The American Countryside.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Peter Ernest is founding executive director of the International Spy Museum. He spent 38 years in the CIA, 25 of which were in covert operations.
I had been trained in Greek, modern Greek, and so I spent a number of years in that area, Greece and Cyprus. I worked for a good 10 years or so on the Soviet and East European target.
Former agents normally speak in generalities about missions. Those working as spies, if you will, may see a wide range of activities.
Sometimes it's very routine, and then there's moments of sheer terror. To a degree, it's like that. You spend a certain amount of your time, and often if you have a cover job, you're doing something in a cover field, but you're also trying to further your operations interests, and that can be interesting.
When operating in potentially hostile territory, Ernest would often use what he calls impersonal communications.
This is where you get into dead drops and caches and tossing things out of cars and so forth. That's a little hairier. It requires a lot of preparation or dry cleaning, as we say. We got very, very good at it. We got to the point where we could actually conduct what we called a brush pass, even under surveillance.
The gadgets he used to communicate seem like antiques today.
You can probably go down to Radio Shack and buy the sort of device that I was using. In fact, what we did use was the forerunner of the cell phone.
Many intriguing items are on display here at the International Spy Museum, a place that details the life of a spy like Ernest. Traveling the countryside in Washington, D.C., I'm Andrew McCrae.